This is the ColoradoHockey.com podcast brought to you by Avs Fan. An in-between episode is like going off menu at your favorite restaurant and exploring new ideas and perspectives. This isn't your everyday Colorado hockey podcast, and James and I bounce all over the place in this 70-minute conversation. Two dudes talking Colorado sports, creativity, t-shirts, tailgating, kids, podcasting, and life in general. James and I have a lot of things in common, including a sailor's mouth at times, so mind the explicit tag that comes with this podcast and find something to keep your hands busy while you listen. It's a long one, but it's a good one. I'll say it one more time. James and I are both fluent in the language of cursing, so be ready for that. If it's not your thing, skip it. I understand. Otherwise, you're going to enjoy this. So without further ado, James Hernandez of 5280 Shirt Shop.
Awesome. I'm going to take a big drink, and then I'll be ready to go whenever you are, man.
Might even be going, man. You never know what actually makes the podcast. So what's really cool while you're drinking, by the way, is I wasn't really sure what to make of it. I'd seen a little bit of the Captain Bronco podcast. Actually, I was just watching it. I'm 44 minutes in. You guys are definitely the long form.
Oh, for sure. The long form and explicit for a reason.
Yeah, right. So that's the thing is I didn't really know any better. I'm like, I don't know if I should cuss or what. But then I see the show and it's like, shit, goddamn, hello, fuck. I'm like, all right, this guy speaks my language. We're good.
And I'd say that's why it's called the Boozecast, right? Because we definitely talk about how we don't bring facts and stats to the show. And, you know, more often than not, we drop a couple in there and they're probably wrong, but who cares? But by the time the podcast is over, we've got, you know, 3, 4, 8 beers in us. And by the end of the show, it's just, you're right, shit, fuck, asshole. And it plays out.
But it's real though, right? They're just words. They're not magic. Nobody's going to die because you said them. I wish more people would just use them where they're appropriate. And on a podcast, totally appropriate.
God damn right. That's what I'm talking about.
I don't know about the Taco Bell though. You guys kind of lost me on that one, man. It's been maybe a decade since I've had Taco Bell or even like a pop. But, you know, whatever you're into.
Taco Bell is so much of our love. I mean, once I got introduced to the app where I can, you know, drive down I-25 in really shitty traffic and actually order food and it's waiting for me. Yeah, that was bad. That was such a great move on Taco Bell's part.
I didn't even know what you're talking about because I'd never go there, but you could just let them know you're on your way and they have the food ready.
Oh, yeah. It's an app. You put your credit card in just like anything else. Go through That's the awesome. Menu, order on the app, and tell them what store you want to pick it up at and show up. It's great. The weird part is, though, when you go to the drive-thru and you say, yeah, I ordered on the app. My name is James. And they're like, okay, hold on. I'm like, holy crap. Are you kidding me? 7 a.m. for breakfast, you have that many people ordering on the app? No way. Okay, pull forward. Sure enough, it's right every time.
I don't even know how a place like that makes money, man. It's got to be all volume.
Oh, yeah, right? Totally.
How many tacos do you think they make in one day?
Oh, I don't know. One location, number of tacos?
Yeah, like thousands maybe?
I was going to say like 5,000 maybe, a couple thousand.
And there's some like Rockies things or something like that when they hit a home run, you get tacos, something like that, right?
Yeah, like 4 tacos for $1 or something crazy.
So yeah, we should talk about this. You're a fan of all sports in Colorado like me, I'm pretty sure. Even lacrosse and things like that, although I'm not a season ticket holder and I don't go to a lot of games, I appreciate the hell out of them. And I've made it to almost every major and kind of minor sports team we've had here.
Yeah. You know, I think I have the only one. No, I did make it to an Outlaws game. We went to a fireworks game one year. So, yeah, I think I've been to just about every game. The Rapids, they first got introduced to about 3 years ago. A buddy of mine, Adam Kinney from Mile High Sports at the time, was like, what do you mean you've never gone to a Rapids game? I've never been. He's like, you'll love it. It's 90 minutes in and out. You don't have to plan around it. It's great. Well, when he took me to the game, he stood me right over where they have the cannon, and I didn't know anything about it. And I think I dumped an entire beer down below when they shot the cannon because I had no idea about it.
So man,
it was a cool place to watch a game. You know, soccer's not my main squeeze, but I enjoyed it nonetheless. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, soccer games are pretty cool. We always do the 4th of July thing with the Rapids. Well, not always. We haven't in a couple of years, but we've done it a number of times. And it's a good time, man. It just sucks getting out of that parking lot.
It does. That's one thing I noticed. It's one in, one way out. So I don't know. But all other sports, absolutely. Definitely a homer for sure.
Yeah, plus you wouldn't guess it from my online presence, but I'm not really a people person. I'm the guy who doesn't want to know my fucking neighbors, and I could give a shit. And like, it's cool to go to games and meet some people and everything, but I'm not like looking for it. I'm not up against the glass. I'm not, you know, tweeting people like, hey, where are you? I'm on the down low, man.
Really?
Yeah, I'm just like that. That's me. I mean, everyone's inside voice is different, right? My inside voice is an obnoxious asshole sometimes, and sometimes it's funny as shit, but in person, I'm pretty chill and laid back.
Dude, well, then sometime we definitely have to have you out for a tailgate and chip away a little at that. They're a blast. A lot of
we
fun.
We should. I'm totally
seen
interested
some of the
in tailgating.
Introverts just have an absolute blast at those tailgates.
Yeah, my wife is even more so than me. So awesome. As long as there's alcohol, though, I mean, it all works out. It comes together.
I'm shocked at times we all come home with alcohol that I didn't even buy. And I don't know if you've gotten to that part in the podcast where I usually talk about the party pack, though, and it's a cooler that we bring, and normally it's full of everything we buy, take to the tailgate, and by the time I come home, it's full of a bunch of booze that I have no idea whose it is. But people will bring, you know, a 12-pack to the tailgate. They'll have two or three, throw it in the cooler, and walk away. Well, I get home, and I'm like, who bought this new Belgian sunshine wheat stuff? It sure the hell wasn't me. But I'll drink it for the podcast. And it happens every single time we tailgate.
That's awesome, man. So I was going to ask you about this because I know all about the hockey team and all that. But when it comes to the Broncos, I don't go to games like one every 5 years when I get a free ticket from someone. Last time I went, I was so high up, man, that I felt like I was going to tumble down. It's like it's so steep at the top.
It is. Those 500s are pretty steep. But, you know, the game atmosphere is it's different, right? Every sport has its ebb and flow to it. You know, and soccer's one thing. Soccer to me was a lot like baseball, to where it's more of a social game. You kind of see the ball go into one end and you kind of pay attention and you feel the climax of the crowd. And then all of a sudden it dies down. Okay, shot missed, out of bounds. Same kind of thing with baseball. You know, you can talk and chit chat and then here comes the pitch. You watch the pitch. Okay, nothing happened. Then go back about your conversation. Football is definitely one of those where if you're ingrained in it, you're kind of in the environment, you're watching plays. And this is from me because I love football, but I'm watching who's coming on and off the field, who's subbing in and out, you know, what's the alignment, what side of the field are we on? There's a lot of that goes into it. But hockey, I absolutely love because it's constant. There's constant movement outside of whistles, but I love it. I mean, every time I've gone to an Avalanche game, even when I've gone with people that I know really well, I end up sitting at the edge of my seat talking to them, but not at them, if you know what I mean. Yep. Like I'm talking, but watching the game at the same time. So they're all very different, in my opinion, but they each have their own piece and climax and ebb and flow to it. And I love it. But sitting in those 500 seats, like you talked about, holy crap. They did a great thing by putting in a giant, I think it's now the biggest screen, widest screen anyway, in the National Football League at Mile High, because when you're way up there, you can't see a whole lot. That's for sure.
Well, all of our sports teams, I mean, they're well represented, especially anything Kroenke, right? Or the bowl and stuff too. But man, the Pepsi Vision, I think they call it, the screen there, that's amazing too. I mean, it's like a spaceship up there.
It's awesome. And that new 3D projection system that they have, I haven't seen it and I'm dying to see it.
So I haven't seen it in person, but like on TV, I've seen it. And it's just like the one they did in Sochi, I think it was, for the Olympics in Russia.
Right.
That's awesome, man. It's like this 3D environment happening right in front of you.
See, and if you're at Pepsi, right? So if you're sitting in the upper 300s, you've got to have the best view of that versus sitting right on the glass. I would just think it would be a little bit more distorted than sitting clear up at the top to watch it. It's kind of like sitting in front of a, you know, a 65-inch flat screen. You can't sit really close, but if you know you're 10 feet away, it's freaking awesome.
I agree. So what are your seats like at the Broncos games? Are you a season ticket holder?
No, not a season ticket holder. I've got enough you know, people that I know that are season ticket holders, and not everybody goes to every game. So we can usually get tickets wherever. I've sat, you know, in 530, 505. I've sat in 121, just all over the place, south stands. It just depends on who's getting rid of tickets and, you know, my personal schedule as well. Green Bay game, we didn't go to the game because it was, you know, Sunday night. I've got a 5-year-old and I had to get ready for school the next day. And that was kind of tough, just tailgating all day. So I don't go to all the games, but when I do, we've got people who have tickets. So it's pretty easy to get them.
So do you tailgate for games that you don't actually watch?
Oh yeah. A good majority of them.
So I'm fascinated by this tailgating world. Like I've been talking to some people and they're like, dude, I'm planning my meals throughout the week. And then the morning of, we got the crock pot rolling, we got all this going, and then the coolers with the ice. And then people have these like elaborate vehicles that are Broncofied. Like buses.
Yeah, we do. We, you know, our tailgate started, a buddy of mine named Mike, we started tailgating 3 seasons ago, way out in the dirt lots, like, you know, way south of the stadium. And it was, you know, his pickup truck and my SUV and a little folding table. And he had this cool fold out bar that we thought was pretty awesome. And then every year we've kind of gotten a little closer. So now we're in lot M, which is right at the Colfax Bridge. And it's gotten big. You know, we even branded our tailgate the Sons of Mile High this year, and that's got a lot of great feedback. And from that, you know, one of our other buddies, Chris, he came about a short bus, a minibus, if you will, that we retrofitted out. It's now got couches and flat screens in it. It's got a kegerator with taps inside and outside. And, you know, we've got the generators and we've got the stoves and we've got the kegs and we've got all that stuff now. So now it's become more of a like my buddy Mike, just for the Green Bay game, he's like, I'm going to sell my tickets, but I want to hang out in the parking lot and watch the game. We have so many people that come to tailgates now that just do that. They're like, you know, I could sit at home by myself and watch the game, or I can go to a sports bar and watch the game with a bunch of people I don't know, or I can actually go down to Mile High and get in the environment the entire day and hang out with my friends. So we've almost become a meeting place for people, you know, taking the light rail from Golden or the west side of town, meeting up with their friends coming from Aurora or wherever else, and they meet at our tailgate. And then they'll hang out with us for the game, and some go to the game and some stay there and watch it, and some go somewhere else. But it's definitely something I wish all sports in Denver did, because tailgating is, it's definitely a lifestyle for sure.
I don't even know if the Avs do it or not. I know some people meet at the bars. There's a couple bars locally that I think they go to, but I don't think it's nothing like the Broncos for sure.
Definitely nothing like the Broncos. As a matter of fact, we've inquired a couple of times, you know, on separate occasions, can we tailgate in Pepsi Center? The answer was, you could tailgate, however, you cannot exceed your parking space. Well, shit. When I tailgate at Mile High, we usually park in my car in one space, take an empty space and put up 2 10-by-10s. And then the next empty space, we'll put up 2 more 10-by-10s. And then another buddy will park his car on the other side. So now we've got technically 4 spaces. But, you know, with all that room, we'll park the bus across from us. That takes up 4 spaces. We'll put up 4 more 10-by-10s. And now we've got all this open space to where we can actually move around. There's no way you can do that at Pepsi Center. The parking lot just doesn't work. And I understand why. But, man, if I'm willing to buy 2 spaces, let me put my car in one and a 10-by-10 in another and pull a table out and have some beers and food with friends. What's the big deal?
And so when you tailgate, is it like just kind of you, or is it you and the 5280 stuff, or is it just whatever?
Yeah, you know, when we started the tailgate, it was kind of a marketing and branding tool for us as 5280 Shirt Shop to get the word out. You know, we'd started with Bronco shirts, so we thought it was a good way to get our name out there, and it was. It was great. But there's also, you know, the idea that if we're going to keep doing this long term, are we going to do it as individual brands? Because my buddy Mike runs a website called Tailgate 365, and it got a little confusing because he's telling people to go to the tailgate. I'm telling people to go to the tailgate. People would show up at the tailgate and, okay, whose is this? You know, who am I hanging out with? Who are you? Who are you? So that's why we decided to rebrand it just as the Sons of Mile High. And it's, you know, sponsored by 5280 Shirt Shop, Tailgate 365, and all these other companies. Now it's kind of got a meaning of its own, or it's taken on a life of its own as the Suns, which is kind of cool.
I think it's really cool. I think that this is like the one thing in the world that can bring people together who wouldn't otherwise hang out together or talk together. Like religion does it, right? Because people all end up in the same church, whether you're sure. A banker or the guy who sweeps the floor at the bank, stuff like that. But sports just has this knack of bringing people together, and, you know, highs and lows for sure. And sometimes it gets a little douchey, but
it
for the
does.
Most part, there's really cool crowds of people that, you know, sort of form by themselves. And for me, I mean, that's what Avs Fam is all about. And that's why I go out of my way to not, you know, have any claim to that. It's not me. It's not my name. It's not my face. It's that community of people. And then it just became, like you said, ridiculous. Like, I'm okay. I'm Avs Fam, man. I'm Colorado hockey. So, you know, am I going to pretend I'm not? Because that's not
right.
Authentic, and that's pretty douchey in itself. And finally, I just kind of decided to let it roll. But
see, and I think that's so cool because when we started the Bronco stuff, you know, it was right in the middle of the Tebow era. We started, and I was looking it up earlier after I saw your show notes. I actually formed the company on November 3rd of 2011. So that was right in the middle of the Tebow era. And, you know, after Tebow, while Tebow was here, and then after Tebow left, there are all these companies that started with Tebow in their name. And a lot of those companies had some serious legal trouble afterwards trying to say, you know, we sold X number of shirts and it was our company and we have the LLC and whatever. And Tebow's people were going after them going, you used our name though. So we decided to steer 100% clear of that, you know, being a homer, it was pretty easy to come up with the 5280 idea. Right. And at that time, you know, 4 years ago, not a whole lot of people were using 5280. It was out there, but it wasn't, you know, outside of the magazine. And I remember when I first started, people were like, oh, are you part of the magazine selling shirts? I'm like, no, completely different. But now, you know, you see 5280 on everything. I mean, it's on the Avs jerseys that are going to be what, at the outdoor game?
I'm sorry,
say it's on the 5280 is going to be on the collar for the outdoor game. Is that right?
I think so. Yeah. And there's definitely the proper flags on there.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's on jerseys now, and the Rapids are using it on theirs, and it's on the floor for the Nuggets game now. I mean, it's stuff that you never saw 5280 as prominent as it is now, but you know, that's when it started and had a little bit of traction, and it's just gone from there.
Well, if you look at it too, I mean, the Avs aren't playing very good, right? It's, that's not, getting down on the team is just a fact. They're not playing really good. And so you see the organization doing a lot of things to engage the fans still. And I think they're doing things they wouldn't otherwise do. And so a long time ago, I started the website Colorado Hockey. And it was better than the Avs when they got here. I mean, their website wasn't as good as mine. I had it down. It's what I went to school for. 2 degrees in multimedia. I mean, this was my shit. It's what I wanted to do. If I won the lottery, I would have still done that. That's how into it I was.
Dude, that's awesome.
Right? I should ask you that while we're here, because I ask everyone that. If you won the lottery, would you still do what you do on a daily basis? What would you do? What would fill your time, or what would your purpose be, man?
Well, most people who know me personally know that I have a full-time job, you know, outside of doing the shirt shop and stuff. That's kind of my hobby or my passion. Now, if I won lottery tomorrow, I work for a fantastic guy. I don't think I would quit. You know, he's a fun guy to work for. But at the same time, I would definitely take more time to do, you know, shirt shop stuff. I would definitely work on the tailgate stuff a little bit more. And it's funny because I get called a lot of jack of all trades, but a master of none. And that's totally me. And I know it because I like to dabble. I get into a lot of different things. But I've got a list. I've got a list in a journal that I keep of here are the things that I would go do tomorrow if we won the lottery. One of them includes I'm going to grab, you know, half dozen of my closest friends, and we're going to call up NetJets, and we're going to grab a plane, and we're going to take off for a week. And we're going to go wherever we want to go. So it's just one of those things. I love that question, and I think more people should ask that or keep a list. You know, what would you do tomorrow if money and time were no object? I think you'll get some fantastic answers from people because it's the honest truth.
So another thing we have in common is I have a six-year-old. I think you have a daughter. I saw a picture of you guys. I have a six-year-old son and then an eight-year-old son as well. Okay. And my six-year-old and I, we were talking about time. And we have the deepest conversations in the car. Anywhere else, don't have these conversations, right?
But totally get it.
On the way home from jiu-jitsu, they want to know a lot of things. And so we were talking about time and how that's absolutely the most valuable thing in the world. That you can lose money, you can make money, you know, you can have hard times, you can thrive, survive, or just stay alive, whatever. But time, you never get that back. And so it's not just about making the best use of your time, but at the same time, you can't go time jacking other people. And, you know, it all came from this idea that he wanted to go do some stuff that I just wasn't into because I knew it was going to be crap. I knew that it was one of those things where, you know, you go to this little party, but it's really about something else and they're going to pamper chef you or some crap like that.
Your motive. I get you.
It was deep and philosophical, but yeah, man, I'm with you on that. And I think that's the thing is if you take money away, a lot of people, I don't know if they'd know what to do with themselves because you get so used to the daily grind.
Yeah. And you know, that blows my mind because I was watching, just, you know, people you run into on Instagram and you start following their account and like, what does this person actually do? I found out that this girl that I'd followed for a long time is actually a Forex trader. And I had no idea what that was. So started looking it up going, all I see on her Instagram is she's like getting vegan juice in the morning and having lunch with her friends and like never goes to work. It is jet skiing. Like, what do you do? Well, once I figured that out, I'm going, wow. She made a comment that was a real wow moment for me of, you know what, there are people who bust their ass for peanuts 50, 60, 80 hours a week. Why? Because that's what you're going to do with your life. So if you can do a little bit better, then why don't you? Spend the next year learning a skill, learning a trade, go do better, and then see what happens. Because you know you can always go back to that.
Right, and get out of your comfort zone a little bit too.
Exactly. And that to me is a big thing that I wanted to do with the shirt shop. You know, just try it. Do it. You've probably come up with the same thing. Well, this is probably not the same as you. I'm a horrible artist. I can't draw. I can't do anything myself. I'm one hell of a napkin sketcher and stick figures, but I have a couple freelancers that work for me to help me come up with the art. And for me, that was one thing when I first started of this sucks. I need to go find somebody who is way better at this than me. Let me work with them and we'll see how it works out. It's turned out to be great. You know, and a lot of the ideas I should say are crap, but there are some good ideas out there and you see that with your stuff and you get feedback. You get feedback from the public on what do they like, because you probably get this as well. There's a lot of people who will say, oh man, that's a great design. I'll buy it today. Well, guess what? Throw me $20. Here's a PayPal address. And once you do, we'll send you a shirt. And then you never hear from them again.
Yeah, so, you do get a lot of the shut up, take my money, and then nothing happens. But
okay, here's the link.
I'm getting a lot of love from people too, but sometimes I get so there's a certain point where people started sending me stuff. They're like, hey man, can you help me to have a baby? Can you help me get my dog's vet bills paid? And can we start this fund and that fund? And I'm down with helping people, but to be honest, man, I'm not making any more money on this than I spend to get new shirts. So it's like if I'm doing good, I'm breaking even. And really I'm only doing this to put the shit out there that I want to be out there.
Exactly.
Like a musician, right? You write the song you want to hear. Well, for me, this is what I want to wear. This is to me what fan gear looks like. The Avs have it locked down. Kroenke does with the logo wear, right? Yep. I can't be using their logo. They got their logo on everything. They have their own shop that does it, embroidery print, all that. Yeah. For me, this is like, this is more authentic to me. And it's more, even if the shirt, if you didn't know what it was, who Danny Boy is or Hayter or any of that crap, it's still just a cool shirt. And that for me is kind of the criteria for the stuff I'm doing.
I tell you what, man, that rings so true to me because that's how it all started. I didn't know a thing about copyright law or trademark or any of that. And then, you know, when you first get into it, you're like, well, let's just make a bunch of cool stuff. But your gut will tell you if you're doing something that's a little bit too far across the line, you go, maybe I shouldn't use the Broncos logo on everything.
Yeah, well, and that's hard though, right?
Oh, it is, because, you know, that's such an identifying factor for fans. But you also know that if it's burgundy and blue and white, for the most part, you could probably come up with funny text or cool text or something like that, throw it on a shirt, and a good percentage of the population will go, hey, that's kind of cool. But then it takes that segmented piece of that population to actually be willing to throw down dough for it because they think it's cool and now I want to wear it all the time.
Yeah. Do you wear your own stuff?
Of course.
Yeah, me too.
I have the hardest time. Like if I'm in Dick's or I'm in Sports Authority or I'm just anywhere and there's, you know, merch around, I'm like, that's really cool. But God, could I make something that's just as cool that's got my logo on it? Probably. So yeah. Then I forego buying stuff. Now, hats to me are completely different. Like I love New Era hats and I love what you did with the Dutchie hats. Those are so sick. I got to get one of those because I love how it's simple, clean, a nice fitted hat or flex fit hat. Those sell like crazy. And people who aren't buying your Dutchie hats are stupid because those are really sick, dude.
That's awesome. We should do a hat trade. What do you think?
I'm down. We'll figure it out. We'll definitely figure it out. But, you know, it's that kind of thing. And when you want to wear your own brand and you start your own stuff, you're like everybody. And the thing that got me is you go to sports bars and you're like, I see four people in here wearing the exact same shirt.
Yep.
That's so dumb. Like, where's your personality? I know that, okay, you know, two chicks across the way pimped it out with a V-neck and now she's got mom bling jeans and some boots on. But come on. Wouldn't you rather wear something that's, you know, got a little bit textured look to it? It's a little bit more form fitting. You can layer it with something else. And now it's got a logo that doesn't look like everybody else's, but it still goes with your Avs hat. Yeah. Okay.
It has to mean something too, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, and that's the kind of person that does it without a doubt.
That's really interesting. All that stuff. So you said at one point that you think I'm a good artist. I'm so not, man. I'm the same boat as you. I do a lot of my own stuff, but that's just because I've learned how to hack around my faults for sure. And sure. Some of my best art isn't mine, to tell you the truth. The Ryan O'Reilly one was a collaboration with Justin Cox okay. Something on Twitter. And right. So I brought the idea to him. I gave him a sketch, but he actually did the illustrator work, which is tedious as hell. And he did it better than I would have for sure. So kudos to him, right? But even a guy like that, I have to tell these people up front. Because I get people all the time like, hey, man, you need graphic artists, need this and that. It's like, look, dude, yep. This is a for the love of it proposition. And I might be able to throw you $25 and one of the shirts with your, you know, art on it. But that's about it. But, yep. You know, for me, it's the same time. I'm trying to support the people who are authentic and doing the same shit as me. I think you are for sure. I think Kevin is. I have some ads on Kevin's radio show. And honestly, man, I love that he's doing the radio show. It's a good radio show. But for me, it was about supporting him and what he wants to do, because I think he's coming from that same place. He's authentic. He wants to do this. If he won the lottery, he'd still do that shit. And that's kind of stuff I want to support.
You know what? That's so true. And the cool thing, I guess the good and the bad about Mile High Sports is that they have the ability to do that. You know, they're their own sales guy. All those broker shows, they go hustle and get their own sponsors. That I don't think a lot of people who listen to Mile High Sports know that that's how it works. Because right. Other sports radio shows, you know, the talent are employees of the station. But at Mile High Sports, you're the sales guy. You're the bill collector. You're the talent. You're everything. You're the creative. You're doing your own voice cuts. You're doing everything, which is a great way for a lot of guys to break in the industry. I mentioned Adam Kinney earlier. He and my buddy Dario Correa had a show at Mile High Sports 3-4 years ago. And they were one night a week, late at night, talking about Broncos football. And they came to me. This was right when I started the shirt shop. And of course, I'm thinking, oh, this is a great way to advertise. We'll get the name out there. I was their first sponsor. And as a matter of fact, when my 30-second to 60-second ads would run, it was, hey, our first official sponsor is the 5280 Shirt Shop. And that was great because a lot of people started to find us. But over time, it's one of those things where, you know, what's my ROI on this type of investment, or can I get better money spent elsewhere? So we, you know, we played with that for a while and it worked okay. Radio, I just found out, wasn't a good combination for me at the time because we're doing all four sports. Now for you, because it's so specialized in AV season, that's a home run. And I think that's a great thing for your brand awareness for sure.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. And like I said, I mean, I'm making money so I can make more shirts. I have a full-time gig just like you, man. I did 72 hours last week on it. So,
Damn.
yeah, I'm telling you, it's not sustainable, and it's not, that doesn't make me cool. Believe me, man. I'm the guy who thinks I could do it in 20, and a lot of times I can, but some weird shit going on as we became more global, and I don't know, bullshit anyways. But
Real world shit.
yeah, it's I don't know, man. You got to have two things, I think. I think it's really important that you have one thing that kind of supports the rest of what you do. So I look at my day job as my biggest investor in what I would do if I won the lottery, which is shirts, hockey, you know, I'll talk a lot of shit on podcasts, things like that.
It's great. And I call it a side hustle because so many people have that these
like
days.
That.
There are so many people that have a full-time job. And one of the guys in my office who started working for us almost a year ago, he came in and we were just talking about shit one day and he needed some stickers for something. I'm like, oh, dude, I can hook you up. And he's like, what do you mean? And I meant, you know, told him the shirt shop story. He's like, dude, so that's your side hustle. That's like what you do for fun. Even if you didn't get paid, you would still do it. I'm like, yeah. But it's kind of its own animal, you know, it feeds itself, it's all good. And then he started talking about his side hustle, which was real estate and other stuff. And I'm like, to me, having these little side pieces makes people more rounded of a person. You know, you've got interests, right? So why not do something with it? Make a little bit of change, you know, be creative, expand your horizons a little bit. But God, don't just stick in the 40-hour work week. You seriously going to do that for 80 years on the planet and then disappear? Like, that sucks.
Right. When you're sitting on your porch, that's not going to matter. You're not going to go, yeah, it's a good thing I put in those consistent hours and never did anything for myself.
Right. And anymore, you don't even get a gold watch or a retirement plan. I mean, you just disappear. And that's not cool. So many people having side hustles now. I love it. And we've met a lot of people with a tailgate who do the same thing, too. A lot of the companies we support with that or become partners and sponsors, their companies are their side hustle. It's just so cool. A good friend of mine, Kathy, she runs a food cart called The Taste of the Philippines. She actually catered our tailgate yesterday, and she started this as her side hustle. She got a food cart, put it on the 16th Street Mall. Next thing you know, she's got a storefront over at Finn's Manor, now up in the Rhino District, and she's got her cart only running half season. She's now done this to where she's made it full time, and she was just in Singapore for like a month. She took off to go learn about food and see her family.
Yeah, I love that stuff, man. That's what I'm after. To me, that's what, you know, authentic is. That's what being a real person is. This other stuff, I mean, I'm telling you, it changes so much. That I'm lucky that I kind of do what I went to school for. A lot of my friends don't, you know, 7-Eleven with a philosophy degree or something like that.
The barista who's got an MBA still working on the student loans. Yeah, no thanks.
But you always have to have that hustle too. And plus, I mean, I didn't, it took me a long time to get where I'm at, and I had kids at a young age, and you know, a lot of times it is really just surviving long enough to have a chance at thriving. And I'm still working on that, I think, but it's been, you know, better than ever. But man, I spent a lot of time making stupid shirts for like Hollister and Hot Topic and places like that. It was my job to spin shirts. So they'd send me on the 16th Street Mall, told me to go see what's hot right now and then go do a spin of it. And
really?
I'm almost embarrassed to say it, but yeah, that was my job, man. I was supposed to go down there, see what was hot, what was going on. I'd come up with 6 or 7 designs, usually one-liners because I'm not a good artist, but
right.
Where I worked, there was tons of good artists. I mean, like legit guys who do Superman comics or Popeye commercials, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're around people like that, I mean, you have to accept right away, I'm not a good artist. When it comes down to it, they can do the art, I'll do the funny.
Yeah, right. And see, that's what I think is good, though, a lot about a lot of people here in Denver with their side hustles. Another guy I know, Brandon Spano, he's done that big time with BSN Network, and you've probably seen him on Twitter quite a bit. He was started at Mile High Sports as an on-air guy and decided one day, you know, I'm just going to start my own thing. I actually have my own media company, and we'll go from there.
That's awesome. I don't know much about that, though. I know I talked to some people from both Mile High Sports and then BSN, and there's a couple others, too, the Hockey Writers, I think, or whatever.
Uh-huh.
If I'm being honest, man, I don't know much about any of it. I know these guys are really into it. I know some of them are like pretty legit as far as they have media passes to get into the games. You know, they can get the press box and stuff like that. But it's an interesting thing to me that that's available to people. You and I can just get on late at night and have a podcast and give it to the whole world. That's cool. And it
Isn't
wasn't always
crazy?
That easy. Yeah,
it's nuts that you could actually push record and then broadcast it, and then people are subscribing and actually want to sit here and listen to what you and I've been talking about for half an hour now. Like, that's crazy.
You guys got a good show, man. There's times I look at my followers and stuff, and like after I do a podcast or put it out, I'm like, I didn't lose anyone. That's amazing. And I'm not real stuck on the numbers, but it's like your only way to know if things are working or not is, you know, how many people are actually listening. And
you
honestly,
have to.
I do some podcasts that I don't even care if people are listening. This isn't my only one, the Colorado Hockey one. I do a couple others that it's just about kind of that process and putting it out there in the world. It makes you, you know, be legit that way.
Oh, it's true. And I think it's funny. One thing that I'm a horrible artist, but one thing a friend of mine got me into was hand lettering, which I think is just an amazing skill. And the people who are really good at that are just so freaking talented. I think it's awesome. But, you know, we worked it out and I got a sketchbook and, you know, my pens, markers and all this crap. And I was horrible. I still am horrible. But to me, the art of hand lettering is, you know, it's practice. It's not perfect as long as there's progress. And if you continue on with life of stuff like that, even whether it's a podcast or work or your kids or whatever, it's always progress. And stuff like that, you know, again, makes you more of a well-rounded person. But it's just another interest to share with people, and especially online in today's online communities. There are so many people doing the same thing. You just have to find them. And they're so inspirational to me.
No, you put that on there online?
No. And that's one thing. I'm getting to the point now where I'm like, okay, maybe I'll take a picture of this and put it on Instagram and go from there. You know, like you, I've got, you know, half a dozen accounts that I run. And not a lot of people know that it's even me, but it's one thing that I've thought about doing of, you know, maybe I'll put these out there and see if they get any feedback. And am I wanting to do that because I want people to say, hey, great job? Yeah, kind of, you know, that's something that you look for when you put it out there. And there are going to people who say, you know, that looks like shit, dude, keep trying. That's great.
Nothing wrong with that, right? I mean, you want to know basically, are you making people happy? Did they look at this and appreciate it? Or, you know, exactly. If it's like something you wrote, did they learn anything from it? And actually your podcast I was listening to is the Bronco. So Captain Bronco is your friend, right?
Captain Bronco is my buddy Scott. All the yep. Time. Yep. We do. We record once a week and he lives in Temecula, California.
So he's pretty good at this stuff, really. I mean, he has a lot to say. There's no doubt about that. And he definitely uses the most words, but it's a good show. You can watch that and learn some shit because everyone has the same data. We all know what the stats are. We know what Manning did last year or last week or, you know, whatever happened. It's how you interpret them that's interesting. And that's where podcasts like that make sense, is that you maybe didn't give it the way they thought of it. Or I think her name's Sarah. She'll get in there every now and then and have a rant. It's pretty impressive.
Sarah's awesome. You know, if anybody watches the league, Sarah is totally our Jenny when it comes to fantasy football. Like, she knows her shit. She's really good. I think she's in 8 or 9 fantasy football leagues this year, but she's a go-to. I mean, there's a guy named Matthew Berry who's like the fantasy football guy for ESPN, and she is in his book that he wrote. So, you know, just like your podcast, I think it's great. You find people who have very interesting takes on it. Absolutely right. It's what sports radio has done forever. They've grabbed the morning newspaper, ripped the sports column, and then put their own spin on it for their afternoon show. That's right. What everybody does. Everybody's done that for years. That's all that we're doing now with podcasts. And you make it funny by drinking a 6-pack of beer and being yourself. And people seem to come to that and want to have fun with it. So it's a good time. I love it.
You might actually drink a full 6-pack. I'm only 44 minutes and 30 seconds in, but I've seen a whiskey bottle come out the whiskey's being drank from the bottle. yeah. I forget what the hell Sarah's drinking, some wine or something with a fancy velour.
Yep. Something on it. Yep. She's usually got wine. Scott, it depends on where he stopped on his way home. And I usually try and stick with beer, but sometimes a little whiskey creeps in there too. But yeah, when Scott started going straight for the bottle, and you can see me at one point in the podcast, I think I tell Sarah, okay, at this point in the podcast is where we start to nosedive and it's going to go downhill from here. So
yeah, I saw the hand movement. You showed it. You didn't just say it. You showed the trajectory.
Yeah, and it does. But it's fun, and we know it, and who cares? If people are still listening by that point, bravo to them. Thank you for hanging out. We appreciate it.
All right, man. So let's talk Broncos really quick. I keep threatening to talk Broncos, but I haven't. So are we going to win it this year? I'm going to start at the bottom.
Like, yeah, there's no reason why not. This team was really damn good to start with. And then all of a sudden today, John Elway decided, oh, let's go get Vernon Davis from the San Francisco 49ers, who's, you know, been their best tight end for the last 6 years. And we'll just take him and add him into the mix. So we put out the shirt last year of "In Elway We Trust," and you have to. The guy makes just some crazy free agent moves. And I think this year, this has to be the year, because Peyton Manning's got one more on his contract. I don't even know if he's going to play that out. He's got all the pieces this year to make it happen.
I think that if they were to win this year, he might want to play another year.
Right?
Elway got a Super Bowl. And he's like, well, this team's still pretty awesome, and I wouldn't have to be the guy winning it all. I mean, I don't know, though. I have to say Manning is so key when he's playing his game. I don't know if they did a lot of people are saying it was like a hybrid, right? It was Kubiak's game and Manning's game in the last one. But I don't know, man. What I saw was they maybe lined up with what Kubiak wanted, but when does Manning not pull an audible, right? He's always out there chirping and talking and changing things. And I think that's what makes him great.
It is. You know, it's funny. They talked about it, I think, during the game. You know, this is what Peyton Manning does. He gets to the line and he barks and he yells and he screams and he points and he dances around. But half the time, it doesn't mean anything. the play's already in and they know what they're going to run. They're just working on the defense. And Manning's come out and said that before. You know, I'm just out here saying stuff to see what the other guys are going to pick up.
Yeah, I saw a thing with him and I think it was Ray Lewis. I don't remember who it was, but somebody who they were on the other side of it and they had him mic'd up and you could hear Manning calling some stuff and the other guy would spit out some stuff and it was just gibberish, but they were having a good time with it. And then they snap the play and go.
I do remember that. I don't remember what game it was, but the defense on the other side of Manning was yelling Papa John's.
Yeah, time. Right. That was the best, man. Like, how much money would you pay to have that mic on the field all the time? Like, screw the normal announcers. I want the guys to cuss. I want to hear these guys. I want to hear the chirping. I don't even want any bleeps or nothing.
That's why the show Hard Knocks on HBO is so successful, because you go behind the curtain, right? You get to see inside of what's going on. You get the shit, the fucks, and what's going on. And this guy lost his house, and you know this guy's having problems with his wife. And that's real world stuff. That's what people want to see. I can watch CBS football every Sunday, but I want to see that. That's cool.
That's why people like reality TV, I think. But that's not very reality, by the way. I was talking to a guy the other day who worked on one of those shows, and he says there's an awful lot of scripted shit going on. I think in football, you probably can't script it, right? I think that's probably pretty real. Like, are you a UFC fan at all?
I'm not a fan, but I do enjoy watching it when it's on.
Like, they were, I mean, kind of a big deal for some hardcore people, and then they got their reality show, The Ultimate Fighter. And, you know, you can't really script a whole lot when it comes to fighting and things like that, even though I think they do put some stuff in there. But it made it real for people. Like, it wasn't just what you saw. It wasn't the walkout song with the walkout shirt that they have. They dance around, stare at each other, and then, you know, try to punch the other one until they falls over. There was, like, a whole thing behind it. There was the buildup to it and the nerves, and these guys who seem amazing are actually as scared as the other guys. Just, you know, how you deal with it in the moment, that shit's cool. I think everyone can relate to that. Maybe not the fighting part, but, you know, the fear and dealing with it and stuff like that.
That's, you know, stuff like that's cool. The Broncos and on Broncos TV, on Broncos.com, Their media department is awesome, and they've done a good job doing mic'd up segments just for the website. They don't even show them on TV. And I think I even tweeted at the Avalanche. I was like, hey, at Avalanche, this would be awesome for hockey fans. And it's just a different player's mic'd up every game that they only put the audio and the video on the website. And it's awesome. It's some cool inside stuff that you sit, you know, the guys walking down the tunnel, you get some pregame, you get some in-game action, and then you get post-game reaction. It's raw. It's real. And I think fans want to know players on that next level that media departments have the full opportunity to do it. Why they don't, I have no idea.
Well, they're going to have to do something, right? I mean, the power is kind of going to the people at this point. Everyone can have their own podcast, their production, whatever it is. And then you have people at the games who can be periscoping things. I mean,
there's
so much crowdsourcing right now, which I really want to get a handle on that better. I want people to do that for Colorado hockey or for, you know, anything, really. I want to see people get involved and kind of have their own words out there, their own experience out there, and then put them all together. But anyways, what I was getting at is I think that the Kroenke, anyone who owns a sports team, you're going to have to start embracing this because it's going to happen. The same way that the music industry flipped out, the same way that the print industry flipped out. I mean, it's going to change because they're not changing it. If you don't go and change things up yourself, somebody's going to change it for you. And I think we're there.
You know, I'm a big believer and a big follower of Gary Vaynerchuk. And I don't know if you know who that is or not.
I don't.
But Gary Vaynerchuk, and I think it's just at Gary V on Twitter. He is an amazing entrepreneur and has embraced media and social media from the very beginning. And one of the big things he talks about is screens. Advertisers and you know, people who put stuff on TV still believe that the TV is the first screen. And it's not. It's that, you know, 4-inch wide iPhone that's in front of your face that everybody's on while the game is on. You know, I can watch the game, and the game's almost become a subset now of social media, because in game, I'm watching Twitter. I'm checking Instagram. I'm seeing anybody's got their Periscope going. Even during commercial breaks, if a player goes down hurt, the last thing I'm doing is watching commercials. I'm now following the newsies who are on the sideline or who are in the press box, that they get the health or injury updates in the press box before we do as the viewing audience. And I'll already know, you know, so-and-so is out with an MCL, won't return back to the game before they even come back from commercial break. So people who embrace social media and the screens as they should, like Gary Vaynerchuk, they get it. And those are the kind of people like I continue to follow, because they're pushing the edge of what media is going to be, not just this year, but in 5 and 10 years from now. Those guys are great.
That's awesome, man. So what other stuff do you pay attention to, like podcasts, articles, stuff like that? And it doesn't have to be sports related. We've clearly gone down a rabbit hole on this, and I'm totally fine with that. That's another beautiful thing, right? If somebody's into this and they're like, I don't know what the fuck they're talking about, I don't care, they could just skip it and move on, and that's totally cool.
Just close it out and catch the next episode. That's totally cool. No, you know, the media stuff I think is really cool, but I love Periscope now, and Periscope's kind of changed since Periscope first came out, right? Periscope, the idea was I can watch somebody walking down the street in New York, showing me where they live and seeing the environment. Now it's kind of turned into, I'm going to sit in my office and basically do a video podcast and teach you how to style your hair and makeup for the next 20 minutes. So those mediums, I still think are developing. They're finding their own niche, but people do with Periscope or Meerkat, whatever they want to do. It's broadcast you. It's YouTube, you know, 2.0. Now it's live and I can show you what I'm doing from wherever I'm at. The curious thing for me is how are, you know, sports teams or concert, you know, promoters and artists going to protect their copyright or protect their product if the entire viewing public can reproduce it? Now, could right. you and I sit at an Avalanche game and Periscope the Avalanche game and then at the same time cut away and go, hey, this Periscope brought to you by AvsFam. You know, here's some of our shirts that we saw at the game tonight.
Put I mean, it back we totally up on could, Periscope. Right?
Right.
This is actually full circle. So I'd started telling you before how my website was better than the apps. Well, I got a cease and desist order. It's actually in my little briefcase full of my favorite treasures.
Mm-hmm. I got those too. One.
Not many people have those, right? But I learned in a hurry what happens when you get too much going on. And to be fair, I had pictures of players that I'd just taken off the web. I mean, I was hacking things from everywhere. They had every right to do it.
Sure.
But it's changing now because who really does have that ownership, right? And is it really such a bad thing when people want to take it and share it? I mean, if you're abusing it or you're bastardizing something, you know, there's certain limits. But I think, you know, like I was saying before, you're going to have to embrace it. And you're saying some shit. I don't even know, like Meerkat. I don't know what the hell that is. I know Periscope. But
yeah, Meerkat was like came out like right before Periscope did. And Meerkat was kind of setting themselves up to be a company that was going to get bought by Twitter. Little did they know that Twitter was kind of doing their own thing with Periscope. Right. So when they found out that, oh, right when we put our IPO out, we decided that we thought it was a good idea. We'll approach Twitter, and Twitter's like, nah, no thanks. We got this thing called Periscope dropping here in about a month. Thanks, but no thanks. So Meerkat's kind of gone on and done its own thing. But Periscope, I absolutely love, man. You can still use hashtags. Your whole Twitter environment still comes into it. It's a great way to integrate. And it'll be curious to see. I'll be curious to see if now Instagram comes up with live video as well to compete with something like a Periscope. But
right, because Instagram is Facebook now, really. So things are likely to change.
Yeah, right. Isn't it weird? Like through generation, I don't want to say generations, but year to year, it's gone. God, people just get sick of Facebook. So now they move on to Twitter, and people are going to get sick of Twitter. They move on to Instagram. And I've known people who have had, you know, a social account for on whatever medium or whatever platform for a week. And they're like, nah, this just isn't for me. But it's understanding how to use the platforms, which you do a fantastic job at. And it's, you know, knowing that Facebook is kind of the story of what happened today. Instagram, or here are some photos of the story that happened today. Twitter is, for the last 8 hours, I've told you what I'm doing every hour of the day. Here's a couple photos. And then Periscope is like, now I'm going to sit here and talk about my day and see if you're still interested. And oh, by the way, when that's done, I'm going to put my podcast up for the last hour.
That's awesome.
Go subscribe to it on iTunes. So people that don't really understand why or how to use the different mediums, I'm like, please just take a few minutes, take the extra time and give your audience what they're seeking. Don't just post, you know, 50 pictures to Facebook and automatically link your Instagram and automatically link your Twitter and automatically link everything because you're too lazy to drop whatever you need to on whatever platform. Like, take the time because you have an audience and your audience deserves that. If you took a picture, don't post the same image on every platform. You know, pimp it out, face tune it, do something to it, but make it a little bit different.
Right, Twitter, and that goes back like to time jack.
Yeah.
Like you don't want to jack their time either. People don't have time for that because there's so much out there, man. You can't be an expert at everything, like you were saying. Being a generalist is like the coolest thing you can be right now. If you know a little bit of everything, if you're a jack of all trades, master of none, like you're talking about, I think that's the way to be. I mean, that's how I am in my day job, is that I'm not a master of shooting the videos that I do or editing those or doing the audio or the graphics, any of that crap. I just know enough about all of them that I can make myself and a whole team of people get shit done.
Right.
That's a skill set, man. It sounds like nothing being a generalist, but I think it's the coolest thing you could be.
I think it is too, because then what happens? You become a resource for a lot of people. A lot of people then want to come to you and go, dude, do you know how to do this? You know somebody that knows how to do this, right? You've done this before. Well, yeah, sure. But I had, you know, I had Cam help me, or I've had Kevin help me. I've had whoever help me. Let me introduce you to them, and then we'll see if we can help you out. That's another thing I love being as a connector. Being a connector is an absolute blast.
And you solve interesting problems, right? That's the only way that you can avoid being outsourced or automated, is you have to solve the interesting problems that you can't do that with. Sure. So for you and I, you know, it's, we're putting out creative ideas on shirts. It seems like a nothing thing, but anyone can make a shirt. What makes a shirt cool? You know, is something, is it relevant to the crowd that you're talking to? Is it something you believe in? Is it authentic? And believe it or not, man, that takes a skill set. I think that you have to actually live that life to do anything worth, you know, doing on it. And I've almost pulled the trigger on some stuff that a month later, I'm like, God damn, I just almost did it because, you know, it seemed like the right thing to do. Like, we should make a so one of those, somebody sent me an idea in While We Trust, and I didn't even know you had one for Elway, but man, that would have been a bad situation. No, I would have felt like I was jacking you there.
Dude, that would have been cool because, you know, now that well, you know, but you're the kind of guy that's kind of like me. If I see somebody else has got something out there, I'm like, hey, tell me the story about this. How did this come about? Because I'm thinking about doing something similar, and I don't want you to think I'm, you know, jacking your idea or your design or whatever. People have been cool. Now, at the same time, I've had people straight rip my designs. And I could talk about it because, you know, the litigation is kind of done. But there was a shop here in town, and an employee had taken one of the designs that we put up online last year. No, 2 years ago. They took the design into their shop. They said, hey, this is a great design. Let's go ahead and print up a bunch of shirts, and we'll sell it in our store in Boulder and in our store on 16th Street Mall. Little did they know, I had already produced that and had it out for about 6 months. They started selling them like crazy. Well, I caught it because I saw them start to pop up on Instagram going, that's my design, but the art's tweaked just a little bit. It's resized is what I saw.
Yep.
So then I started inquiring, great shirt. Glad you love our design. Do you mind if I ask where you got it from? Oh, we got it from this cool shop on 16th Street Mall. It's like, that's what I thought, because I'm not working with anybody on 16th Street Mall. So we had to approach them, talk to them about how they got it. They didn't do their due diligence. And then we kind of went from there. But people are going to rip stuff all the time. When it comes to what we do, it's just the nature of the beast. Now, can you protect everything you put out there? No. I mean, it's cost prohibitive to you know, protect a design that you may sell 50 pieces of. That's dumb.
It is. And at the end of the day, it's going to get ripped whether you like it or not. I mean,
right.
That was my job for a while. They taught me how to rip shirts. And then when I got out of the business, I mean, like I said, I'm trying to keep it authentic. So it's not me anymore to do that. And it never really was me. It was just my job to learn how to do it. But at the same time, I mean, I've seen my own shirts get ripped off. I had a pink one that said, keep laughing, this is your girlfriend's t-shirt, that I've seen ripped off 1,000 times. You can just Google it and see like all the variations. And they're like, well, we'll do it in like a copper plate, and then we'll do it in, you know, just a big Helvetica, but we'll tilt it to the right and left. And you know, it's almost kind of an honor in a way that somebody
rips
you off, but at the same time, you're kind of pissed. And that's where you kind of this realization that, you know, the best thing you can do is put out the shit you want to wear and make it as awesome as it can be, and then sell it at a fair price.
Yep, exactly. I mean, when we first started the shirt shop, it was one of those things where I was getting ripped all the time, and I was constantly tweeting out the simple quote that imitation is the best form of flattery, is a serious form of flattery, because I would get it all the time. And people would actually message me going, hey, do you know that this guy at this website selling a shirt that says the same thing as yours, it's just a different design? Like, yeah, I know. I've seen it for a month, but what am I going to do? And I go chase him down and beat him with the stick and tell him to stop. You know my stuff's cooler. You know where to get it. That's it. Simple as that.
It's funny too, some of the shit that comes from this too, because there's some people that we both know who came to me and they're like, oh, you guys like rivals? You guys, you know, just, you know, that you're going to do this, or you're going to do this and that. And I didn't even get it, man. I mean, maybe I was ignorant to it, or I don't know, but I just saw you doing the same thing I'm doing, man. Just putting out the stuff that you love.
Right. And I think that's because it's competition, right? People look at it as, oh, you know, you're going to go knock heads now and beat each other down to see who can. No, you know what? I would rather find those people and say, hey, you do some really cool stuff. You've got some really cool garments. We've got some great designs. Why don't we find a way to maybe work together, work stronger, work harder to give the fan base more of what they want? Because the same stuff that you can buy with an Avalanche logo at Sears sucks, and nobody wants that. So why don't we come out with cooler stuff? The fan base pick what they want.
And that's what it's really about, right? I mean, the fans have the coolest of all. They have people. I mean, I don't know what the other cities are like. I shouldn't say that, but man, we're well represented. We got people all over the place doing stuff, if it's shirts or podcasts or radio shows, and just a lot of people who seem to be doing it for the love and don't really give a shit if the next guy's doing it too.
Yep. And I think that's great. I think more people should be doing that, which is true. And it's honest and it's raw. It's the fans' vision. And I think if we can start doing that a little bit more instead of the corporate media hype that's out there and everything scripted, people get it. Fans are smart enough now to understand what's true and what's not.
Yep. Man, we go down rabbit holes, don't we? We're all over the place.
Hey, if people are still listening right now, that's great.
Right? All six of them.
Right.
All right, man. So I'm going to actually go back a little bit to the show notes that I'd sent you because I'm going to do the rapid fire questions. And so you don't have to answer these if you don't want, or you could answer them short, whatever you want to do with it. You just don't know which one I'm going to pick yet, though. Okay. So Osweiler, is he the quarterback of the future?
I think eventually he will be. And I think he's the big reason why Kubiak was brought here.
So do you think that if he had to go in right now, he could get it done? Or do you think that he needs another year or two?
It's funny. We presented the same question to a couple of folks. And I think if you take the first seven games that the Broncos has played and put Brock Osweiler at quarterback, we would maybe have two wins to this point.
Interesting. Because I saw somebody saying that they thought that this is more his offense and that we probably have more offense at this point. Wins or not, I don't know. But with our defense, it's possible.
Possible, but it's one of those things in a lot of these games that we come back to win in the fourth quarter with 3 minutes left on the clock. Osweiler does not have a lot of experience doing that, and that's been all Peyton Manning.
I hadn't thought about this until we started talking about it, but so Kubiak comes in, right? And all these weird things that you can't count on to happen are happening for them to win. I mean, the defense has won a lot of games for these guys, You can't always count on that, you know, that fumble or that sack, although maybe with our linebackers you can. They're pretty amazing, but you know, when Watt came here, he had like a standout year. It was kind of a fluke year, but in the coolest of ways. So I wonder, I mean, Broncos second year, are they just as good, or is this just kind of we're getting the bounces this year?
I think we're definitely getting the bounces. And for championship teams to win championships, luck definitely has to be in their favor. Weird things have to happen. The ball has to bounce their way a lot of times. And in the first four games for the Broncos, I mean, there were fumbles that rolled their way, interceptions in the last play of the game that had to happen for them to win. So things like that happen during championship seasons in any sport. The ball has to bounce the right way. You know, Steve Bartman has to make a catch in left field that puts the Cubs out of the World Series. Weird things happen. And that's just sports. That's why we love it, because we're on the edge of our seat to see what's going to happen next.
So did you play sports growing up, or do you now?
Don't play any sports now. I played baseball growing up.
That's cool. So you're a Rockies fan through and through, even though we haven't been really impressive?
I am a homer, big time. And matter of fact, before we had the Rockies, the only channels that I could get on cable were TBS, so I like the Braves, and WGN, and I like the Cubs.
Interesting. So you've been to a lot of games then, I'm guessing?
A ton of games. Yeah, I had season tickets for a couple of years, and then once they got really bad, I decided to give up my season tickets. But Rockies tickets are, you know, one of the things you can walk up and pay $5 and get into the game. So
yeah, it's not that hard to get into a game. It is a good experience, though. Although I'll say I sat two rows up, so second row, and then two seats away from the dugout, mm-hmm. and I wasn't ready for the chirping that happens. I had no idea that the fans were as evil, creatively evil, and like mean-spirited. And they said some of the worst shit that I can't imagine how these players didn't turn around and shove the bat through the fence with their face. I mean, maybe that's the hockey coming out in me, but god damn, man. I was like, yeah, we're going to chill out, watch the game up close, and it was like a riot down there.
Which side did you sit on, the Rocky side or the visitor side?
Rocky side, and they were heckling. I mean, it seemed like Rockies fans heckling the Rockies. And this is a while back, so.
They do. So there's so you know where the dugout is, in the far left side closest to where the batter comes out and heads mm-hmm. to the plate. That's Dick Monfort's seats are right there. The first row right there. And I've sat one row behind him, and he takes it the entire game.
Wow. Fans.
Entire game. Won't say anything, you know, if he gets to go get soda or do whatever, he'll shake hands and take pictures and that kind of stuff. But during the game, he's getting shit talked to the whole game and just takes it. So, you know, the dude's making a ton of dough with that new addition he put out in right field, and rightly so. You've been extremely smart business move. You're capitalizing dollars per square foot where fans normally don't sit for, you know, tens and tens and tens of games. And you're making hand over fist on the three sports bars that are up there, and it's great. Awesome business move. Not good baseball move. Awesome business move.
Yeah, I don't know what to say about the Rockies, man. I mean, it was super exciting when they got here. I was really into it. And then they just never really got good, with the exception of a year or two where they went on these crazy streaks. But I don't know, man. I mean, I have to say I'm a homer too, but this is the one sport that I've just kind of lost the love for, just because it's a constant letdown for me. Maybe I take it too serious as sports, but that's what you do sometimes if you're a fan.
It is. And so you play hockey, right? Did you grow up playing hockey?
I did. I could skate before I could walk. A lot of people say I could still do it better than walking.
See, and that's the thing. So hockey being your first love, like for me, baseball's my first love, but I am fanatical about football. Would I ever tailgate? Well, they don't let you tailgate at Coors Field, but if I could, would I be as fanatical about tailgating for the Rockies as I am for the Broncos? No, but I absolutely love the game. It could be, you know, the middle of June, and I could walk by the high school and watch two high school teams play. It's just one of those things that I love the game.
Kind of like, that's really interesting you say that, because for me, just being in a rink, either watching my kids play, which they don't anymore, but just being in a rink where practice is going on or something like that, and it could be like the Apex Center or the Promenade, any of those, that's just like being home. That's, I don't know, it's one of those things, like if you're a country boy, it's like going back to the country. It's where I just feel like everything's cool. It's just a chill place. Nothing goes wrong there.
I agree. It's what's in you. It's what's ingrained in you.
Yep.
You love it.
All right, next question. We're going to wrap this up soon. I know you got a busy life, too.
It's all good, man.
Mm-hmm. We already did What the Hell with the Rockies. I think that counts for the conversation you just had.
Right.
What about Wah? What do you think about Wah? Is he the coach for the long term, or do you think he's going to get ran out of town if they don't start winning?
I tell you what, I listened to your last podcast, and Steven, is that his name, who did the rant on episode 8 or 9?
Yeah, I had to have him say his name for me and send it to me because I was calling him the wrong last name.
So how is it pronounced? Because I'm going to screw
it. I was saying Croatia or something like that, but it's Crociata.
I was going to say Croatia too, so I'm glad I didn't. Yeah. But his rant and then listening, because, you know, we follow a lot of the same Twitter follows.
Right.
The Wah thing is kind of like the and I'll attribute it to the Peyton Manning, Brock Osweiler thing that's been going through Broncos country the last 5 games too. It's almost split the fan base, and it sucks. It really sucks because, I mean, being as fam as you are, the idea is everybody comes together for the better of the team. But people want wins too. And fans are spoiled when they love our team, and we want wins all the time. I don't know if Wah's going to be the coach for the long term, because a lot of teams tried to follow the Broncos idea of let's bring some guys back and see if they can help build the team and put some guys together and teach the young dudes how to do it. And they won championships. Was a great, you know, great piece to have as an influencer. But one thing I did like about when Steven was doing his rant was, you know, is he out there actually yelling and screaming to make some changes, or just out there yelling and screaming, telling these guys how bad they sucked and screwed up? Yeah. I don't know. It's one thing to be a coach, but then it's also another thing to be a teacher and make change and be responsible for change and, you know, take the glory with the good and the digs with the bad and go from there. But if you're not willing to make change and make tough decisions to make change, because a lot of times that's what it takes. That's why I've loved Pat Bowlen as the owner of the Denver Broncos. And he's been number one in this town for a reason. And that is, when stuff's not working, I make swift change. And that's for the betterment of the fans. I think those over at Pepsi Center have to make the same decisions, that if it's not working, whatever the fans want to happen, that's what's going to have to happen. It's not going to be this year. I mean, you've got to give Wah the opportunity to, you know, coach a full year with his team, with his squad that he put together, and go from there. But I think, you know, next year, if we still have the same result this year, I think those chirps get a lot louder than they are right now.
Right, because it's going to become a business thing. They still have to fill seats, and their tickets aren't cheap.
I mean, that's what happened with the Broncos and Josh McDaniels, right? Same kind of thing.
Yep. That's interesting. So what about Pat Bowlen? You obviously are a fan. I'm a fan too, but did you see the ceremony and the honors and all that?
Well, I wasn't in the stadium, but I saw it on the TVs when we were outside in the bus watching it. And it was really cool. The one thing that they didn't do, and I don't think a lot of Bronco fans knew it, that Pat Bowlen was not at the game yesterday. They had a thing with the team the day before, because apparently his stage of Alzheimer's now, you know, the excitement of the in-game experience will set off his Alzheimer's, so he wasn't there. But I've been a big fan of Pat Bowlen ever since I understood what an owner's impact on the team is. And know some people personally who have worked for the Broncos in the past who have made the mention that when it comes to the Broncos and their fan experience, money's no object. So, you know, whether it's a program that's not printed correctly the day before that it needs to go live, or whether it's, you know, video screens in a conference room that aren't big enough because we can't quite see how the plays are running, Pat Bowlen is always one to make the team a championship caliber team from the beginning. And those years that we had Josh McDaniels, when that wasn't the case and fans were giving up their season tickets, that was a huge dig to Pat Bowlen's ego. And he did not want that to happen. So he made swift change. And once that started to happen, the Broncos got a lot better. Now you can't get a ticket for less than $600 yesterday to go to the Green Bay game. It's crazy.
That is crazy. And that prices me out of the market right away too. So I won't be in the game anytime soon, man.
Right. It's nuts. But that's why I love Pat Bowlen. He's wanted the best. He's willing to spend for it. And that's what the Broncos are.
And that ownership and that the executive team, the GMs, I mean, all of that's super important. If you look at the Avs when they had what was his name? Pierre Lacroix.
Right.
They were great, right? They had a streak of sellouts that went for a long, long time. And now when you go to a game, and it's a little depressing, really, if the seats aren't empty, they've got, you know, Red Wings fans in them or Wild fans or Chicago. Oh, my God, they take over a stadium. And it's one of those things where, you know, it's almost not even a fun experience. I'd rather just watch it on the TV at that point.
That's Rockies games, right? You can go to a Rockies Cardinals games in the middle of the summertime, and I guarantee you that stadium's full of red. Guarantee it, because those fans travel real well. Colorado is such a transient state that we have fans from everywhere that live here now, and it's not fun to go to games like that when there are other fans, so many other fans that are here. Dodger games are the same way. Cubs games are the same way. Being a Rockies fan sucks at those games. It's not fun.
Right, and I'm a fan of all fans, really. I think that everyone has the right to, you know, pay their money, bitch and moan a little bit, have opinions and all that, and you can't take it over the line, but like the fights they had at the Pepsi Center, that was just ridiculous. I mean, I don't know. I don't know exactly what happened in that, but it's ridiculous. But at the same time, I mean, you have to be cool too. And why would you pay money to go be miserable? I mean, just stay home until they start winning or something.
Exactly. And that's what Pat Bowlen didn't want fans to do, is stay home anymore, but they got sick of Josh McDaniels. So he fired the coach, started up new, and fans came back. Same thing happened last year with John Fox and the guys that were here. Those guys all had one step out the door before the end of the season, and fans were yelling that we need to get rid of John Fox and Jack Del Rio, and they did. They're gone.
So you think Kubiak's good, though? You think he's going to stick around for a while?
I think Kubiak's great. You know, being John Elway's backup quarterback for as long as he was, and then being an awesome offensive coordinator. The dude's got Super Bowl rings as offensive coordinator. He knows what he's doing. And I'm glad to see that some change was made pretty quick.
And it worked for them, right? They brought back some old players. It's kind of the same thing with Waugh coming back and Sakic being up in there. And, you know, Elway and his job. There's a lot of parallels, really. It's just really working for the Broncos.
There are, and it's a state of environment that you breed for your team, right? During the McDaniels years and even during the Shanahan years, they didn't let a lot of ex-players come back, not from a coaching perspective, but just simply come back and be around the young guys to talk to them. You know, here's what we did. Here's how things worked. Here's how the locker room works. Here's why you don't go buy a $250,000 car. Like, educate these guys, just not on the game, but on life in general. And in some of those years with the Broncos, they didn't allow ex-players to come back. Even Jake Plummer, this last week was the first time he went back to practice facility since he left. And now this new regime between Elway and Kubiak has said, let's bring them all in. I think that's fantastic.
Awesome. Yeah, I keep hearing them talking about Rob Smith too, which I think that's a really good move. That guy had his head on straight.
Rob Smith is awesome. There was they had a, I don't know what you'd call it, just a meeting outside of the players, and Rod Smith is out there. And the quick clip that I saw on Vine was Rod talking to a bunch of wide receivers, I think. And he said something to the effect of, you know, right now, you're 6-0. And you're not even that good right now. Imagine if you guys figured this out and came together, how good you could be. But you're 6-0 and you're not that good. Figure it out. And the guys were laughing and joking around it, but it's true. And I think some fire like that is really what fans saw last night in the Green Bay game, because they just flat out kicked their ass. It was
finally
great to watch.
Right? It was finally an offensive show. I mean, the defense is always good. And honestly, they had a lot of penalties. I mean, there's still some flaws there too, but you got
11 for 95. It was too many, in my opinion.
Yeah, and then, man, it seems like every game we got a late hit on the quarterback or something like that. And I didn't even agree with the last one. I think it was Bolden.
Yep.
I don't know, man. I didn't feel like he just kind of followed through, but he didn't take the head. Maybe he did. I don't know.
So here's something I got to ask you, during your own rapid fire, but I have to ask this because, you know, obviously I'm a lot more passionate about the Broncos and Rockies than I am about the Avalanche. What are some quick quips that a melancholy type fan, but somebody who doesn't necessarily watch every game, who should we watch and why should we watch them?
So if you're anything like me, man, you love a storyline, right? And the best story for the Avs right now, and it's like Calvin Pickard last year, right? This guy nobody expected much from, and he came up and played his ass off. And this year it's Jack Skilly. I call him the Skilly Wabbit. I don't know why, because I'm a juvenile in my
inner love course. It.
But this guy, he's energy every night, and he's got some skill, not just his last name, but he can actually put the puck in the net, and he shows up for every game. I mean, it doesn't matter if they're losing. He's not the guy hanging his head when the other team comes back and scores a minute later, which happens all the time. So for me, I really like those stories. And I like Berra. I think it's a great story how badly he sucked and how his coach, who was a goalie, watched him in practice and thought he earned the right to try again, and now he's coming through and playing good enough hockey for us to win, really. The stories I don't like are like Matt Duchene is just always on the edge of greatness, and nobody gets more heat from the fans than he does. Right. I love the guy. I want him to score, but I think right now, if there was a big trade, he's probably on the block.
Ah, that sucks to hear, because he's actually somebody that I really like watching play. To your point, I mean, the energy that comes out of that guy is 110% every time he's on the ice, but he's got nobody to play with.
Right.
And that's the bad part.
And he's authentic too. I mean, there's pictures of him in his room as a kid wearing Avs gear, and he ends up getting drafted by that team, and he plays his heart out every night. But man, some of the saves on this guy are amazing. I mean, these are saves of the week, if not the whole year. The guy can't get it in the net, but it's right. Just one of those things where he could bring back a really good player or some really good draft picks, and I don't want to see him go. Believe me, I got some hoodies and stuff coming my way that with his name on it. So it'd be great if he stuck around for a while. But.
Right. Yeah, and those hats, man. Like I said, those hats are so sick.
I really like the hats. I'm actually going to talk to you offline about those a little bit, though, and see if there's some things we could do together on those and some like it. Because I really like the hats, but the guys I work with, their specialty is a lot more in the printing, the screen sure. printing and embellishment and things like that. And sure. I love these hats, but they can't do some of the things that I really wanted to do. So maybe that'll be one of our little projects together.
Love it. I love it. Anybody who's got an ounce of creative in them, I love it because I love seeing other people successful. So anything I can do to help, even if it's not me, but I know somebody, will definitely work on it up.
That's awesome. So it sounds like we're wrapping up. We both got that voice going. So before you get off with me, just give people an idea where they can find you online, with the stuff you're doing, projects, what's coming up. I hear you have a new website, actually.
Yeah, we're doing well. The shirt shop is kind of the shirt shop. It's you know, it's like the ocean liner in the middle of the ocean that's got a course and it's just going. It's doing its thing right now. It's a lot of fun. So obviously 5280shirtshop.com is a great place to find us on Twitter, Instagram, Periscope, Snapchat. We use all of them. It's a lot of fun. The other big thing I got going right now is the Sons of Mile High tailgate for the Broncos. That's a big project that we started this summer. I can't believe how much traction it's made in 3 months that we've been working on it. But, you know, we're working towards getting sponsors and partners for the tailgate. We've had people on board now who really want to be a part of it. We showcased some of them this weekend and they loved it. They loved the feedback from Broncos fans that they normally wouldn't have a chance to talk to or even get in front of. And we do. So it was a lot of fun. That proof of concept is starting to work out well, and it's a passion of mine. It's something that I love. I love tailgating and being at Mile High. So we're going to work on that a lot. And hopefully this time next year, we're bigger, better, badder, and doing some fun stuff.
Right. You can keep doing more stuff and bigger stuff. I like it.
Yep. You got it, man.
Cool, man. Well, I appreciate you coming on. This is really good chat. It's probably going to go up the way it is because it's just a conversation between two guys. So I hope people love it. If not, I'm going to put some of the stuff you said in the show notes as well so people can just go check it out. Are all of the handles the same, like Twitter, Periscope, and all those?
They are. The only one that's different is Snapchat. I think that one's at Friend of the Fans, but everything else is at 5280 Shirt Shop. And then for the Suns, everything's at Suns of Mile High.
Do you have that all socialized on the website too, so they can just go there and click on links?
You got it. Pretty simple.
We can do that then. Cool, man. We got to do this again, and I'll catch up with you. I got some big ideas.
Let's do it, man. Sounds great. Thanks so much for having me, man. I really appreciate it. You keep doing what you're doing, man. You're killing it.
You too, man. Be you.
All right, bro. See ya.
See ya. A huge thanks to James for coming on the show. He's every bit as cool as I heard he was, and probably some more. Be sure to check out all the links in the show notes for things he does, things he's doing, things he's going to do, and also my favorite shirt from his shirt shop. You should definitely check that out. This show is brought to you by AvsFam. You know that. We love you. Stay awesome.